It was my intention earlier to ask to have the song When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on the list today, but one thing leads to another, I never got to that stage, but it was nice that it fitted in. And I don't think these things just happen by chance. I don't think it's just they come together like that. God has a way and a purpose, and sometimes they're beyond our understanding. It may seem trivial, it may seem small and insignificant, but it is important. And there's a lot of that happens. What I want to talk about today is when Steve asked me to take one of the Sundays over the summer months, I had thought of bringing you something on the cross, just some thoughts on that. A massive subject, a massive truth, teaching in the Bible, but just a few thoughts on it today, just to get us thinking, just to get us encouraged. There'd be a challenge there for all of us when we read some of the scriptures relating to the cross. It's a wonderful subject. We can sing about it. There's so many of our hymns that are touching on it, mention it. But maybe it's not a surprise, because it's a fundamental, central part of our faith and our beliefs, isn't it? The cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified there. So let's just read a few verses in 1 Corinthians to give us something to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have a Bible. I'm reading out the NIV, so there's refer to some other verses in the scriptures later on. Starting at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world thought its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded miraculous signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise, not by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and despised things, and things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I'm sure God will bless the reading of his word. And the hymn that we sang at the outset, and even the last chorus that we were singing there, it talked about the tree, it talked about the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Wonderful words penned by Isaac Watts many, many centuries ago, years ago. And isn't it remarkable to think that we're still using the words of someone who wrote them and penned them all that time ago? I don't know if our legacy will be such enduring in terms of that, but what a wonderful words. As Malcolm was telling us recently, there are more verses, and sometimes verses get dropped off. Most of these older hymns had verses going into double figures. But it just gives an indication of the mind and the commitment and the understanding of these writers, that the cross meant everything to Isaac Watt. its last verse, the one that we would sing as our last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Words that we can read, words that we could write, and they would be easy. But to sing them, to say them, with meaning and with purpose, then that does demand all of us. And in a sense, he's getting here of what the cross is all about. There is a verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The cross is very crucial, very central to our thinking, to our lives, and to everyone. It causes a great impact on the lives of all. It's a great subject, it's a great thought, and if we had to go back and study it, learn about it, it's something that wasn't practiced in the days of the Old Testament. Certainly not in the days of the verses where the psalmist could write, and Isaiah, and look ahead to a form of punishment that wasn't available or hadn't been thought of or wasn't widely practiced. It took the Romans to come and to be the rulers of Palestine and most of the known world at that time. And this was their form of punishment for those who stepped outside their rules, their regulations, their way. Not for their own, but for others. And it was a very, very cruel, very, very slow form of death. It was meant to be a display of their authority and of what happens when you step outside of that, and how they will punish, how you will suffer at their expense. It was there as a demonstration of we are in charge, ultimate authority and rule. And often it was a case of putting people on a cross, often many at the one time, and often left there for a while so that people could see. We don't live in a world, certainly not in our country, where we see such displays of authority and rule and punishment. We are actually at the opposite end of the scale now, aren't we, where we are very lax and very sort of limited. We even hear it in our news, don't we? And there are so-called life sentences that come up for debate and decision, and whether they are life sentences or not. And yet, here we have the ultimate penalty. There was no dubiety with the Romans and their form of punishment. It was the ultimate death. It was slow, it was lingering, and it was very, very painful. And where do we get here? We get in here the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a tree. That was a curse. That was something that wasn't worthy for the Jews. That was something that they didn't want. Their form of death was stoning. But that wasn't what God's plan was. For God, there had to be one who would go on a cross. There had to be one who would take the sin of this world. And it had to be someone who was without sin, who had never sinned, who couldn't sin. And all that pointed to was the Son of God, who came into this world for that purpose, for that reason. And it was him who went to that cross. And it's quite a remarkable thing to consider and to reflect on. And I was thinking of some of the great hymns that we sing, new and old. And there's one that Keith Getty and Stuart Townend are involved in, a newer one, but it goes like this: "Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross." if we can just begin to encapture in our minds, our thoughts, our lives, what the cross is. And we read there in verse 17 that talked about the cross of Christ being emptied of its power. There is a power in the cross that is beyond human reason and understanding. And that's the cross that we preach. That's the Christ that we proclaim. He went to the cross. He took the punishment. The sin was heaped upon him. And it wasn't because of anything that he had done. He did not merit a death like that. But it was his love, his calling, his obedience to his Father that he went there. What a wonderful picture in our minds of what the power of the cross is all about. The hymn goes on to say, "Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow." What anguish, what suffering, what pain the Lord Jesus Christ went through on that cross. It was his hands, his feet that were nailed to the cross. It was his head that a mock crown of thorns was put on. Even before he went to the cross, he was lashed, his back was lashed. He was scourged. It says in the scriptures that his back was like the ploughed field. It was so ripped up in skin. That would have been enough to have finished most people. And yet, he still had to go, carry the cross, go to Calvary, and there be nailed to it. There were nails, yes, put through his hands and his feet, but ultimately wasn't it. It was love that held him on that cross. Love for this world. We sung about it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The cross has got such a pull, such a message, such a challenge. And yet, the writing of Paul here very much is alive and aware of even our 21st century, never mind the first century, where people would see it as a message of the cross as foolishness to those who are perishing. People don't think about it. People don't care about it. There's no impact in their life about it. We can tell them. And that is our responsibility. That is our purpose for being here today, to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell of the message of the cross. But for some, it makes no impact. And yet, but to those of us who have been saved, it is the power of God. When the Holy Spirit works in a person's life and convicts them of their sin and of their need of a Saviour, there comes a point when people recognise that they're a sinner, that they need to repent of their sin, and they need to turn to Jesus Christ and see him as their Saviour and Lord, the one who took their punishment and died on that cross. And then there's a power, then there's a realisation that this message is not foolishness, it's everything, it's all, it's the answer, it's God's way. And that's a great dilemma, that's a great contrast that we have, where we see those, we're here today because we don't see it as a message of foolishness, we see it as a message of power, one that we believe, one that we understand, and one that we follow. There's a lot talked about wisdom in our world. There's a lot that's considered to be wise, which isn't. And true wisdom is fear of God, knowledge of the Holy One. Wisdom is something that we apply, something that we find in the Scriptures, something that we can ask God for, to pray for wisdom, to live it out. We can be very intelligent, but not actually very wise. And the wisdom that God is teaching us and showing us is the wisdom that takes us to decisions like looking at the cross and seeing the power that is there. The last verse of the hymn that we're thinking of, "Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. one through your selfless love. This, the power of the cross, Son of God slain for us, what a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. What a wonderful message, what a wonderful place we are today, forgiven at the cross because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's a wonderful message, it's a wonderful truth. But what is the cross to us today? It's not just a time that we look at and say we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and that's it. We know we're going to heaven, we know we have eternal life. It's ongoing, it's more to it. We read there about denying ourselves, taking up a cross. Paul goes on to talk more about it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For the believer, the cross impacts our lives daily. And the impact of that is that Christ comes first. Everything else we crucify to Christ. We are crucified. The cross, all the things that we would have held dear, all the things that we would have longed for, all the things of this world take second place to the things of God, to being obedient to Christ. So that impacts our life. That permeates every area of our life day by day, where we are, how we impact, where we live, where we work, how we go about our business. What kind of person are you? How do you react to situations? When you're in the workplace, how do you respond to those who are difficult, those who are demanding, those who would not share your faith or not understand? We have to have the love of Christ. We have to be obedient to him. We have to do what Jesus would do. We don't take on words and say that we'll be like that, but in reality we will stand up for our rights. For what rights do we have? We're free in the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow him and he will be with us. He will look after us. We're learning, the children will be learning today about what it's like to live in a country where to go to church you suffer. They're learning about the underground church in many countries in the world. Paul persecuted. We know him as Saul. He persecuted the Christians. Stephen was martyred. Paul himself became a believer and he suffered. There are many countries, and they're looking at particularly at North Korea, a very, very close country to the gospel and to lots of things. And yet, there are people there who will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. All we can do from a distance is support them in our prayers and our thoughts. We may not know them. We may not meet them until we get to heaven. But what a joy it will be to meet with people who have taken that verse and lived it out in their life, maybe paying the ultimate price. It has happened in Paisley. It's happened in Scotland before. Many hundreds of years ago, there were people who stood up and would not bow, would not turn away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and paid the ultimate price for that. How do we respond? I was thinking of a song that I had heard many years ago, and it was called "The Cross Is Still There." It's a song by Ian White, and I was thinking of the words. I have a tape of it. I first heard it in 1991, and I was thinking, how will I get the words? Because they just fit in and it would help me conclude this message today. And I went on to do a search on the internet and found out about it. Found out more than the words. I actually found a little clip of the song being sung for the first time. And it was a song by Ian White, and he performed it at Mission Scotland in one of the evenings at Celtic Park. He sung the song. He wrote it for the mission. And just like the experience I shared with you earlier, he wrote a song about the cross, not knowing that Billy Graham, who was preaching, was going to have his theme for that evening as a cross. And what a wonderful impact it made. And the tens of thousands of people were there, were challenged by the words. And the words are still relevant today. And the words are still powerful today. And the chorus goes, "For the cross is still there, even after all these years. For the cross is still there, calling to you, calling to me, calling to everyone to turn and believe. The message is still there. It's there for the unsaved, for the non-believer. It's still there for us as well, to be obedient to the message of the cross. Whether we need to turn in salvation, in belief, in recognition that we need a Saviour, and that Saviour is the Lord Jesus Christ, that we turn in repentant faith to Him, believing Him, or whether as believers we take up our cross today, tomorrow, in God's will, following and being obedient to Him, wherever He calls us, wherever we're to go, being faithful to Him. And all that that takes, all that that means, to follow Him and being putting Him in the place of honour and preeminence in our lives. The cross is still there. It's still a message that is relevant. And the saving power of Jesus Christ is still there. It won't go away. We may think we're in days where we don't see anybody believing and anybody turning to faith in Jesus Christ, but the cross and the message of it will never change, will never go away. We still have to be faithful and obedient to believe that it will reach out in power to those who will turn faithfully and obediently and receive Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Shall we pray? Now, God and Father, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for Jesus Christ, who went to that cross and died there for the sin of this world. And it would be our prayer today that that message may be ever powerful, ever challenging, ever meaningful. And for each one of us here, may we respond accordingly and appropriately to what You would have us do in our lives. And may we take up our cross day by day, and may we follow Jesus Christ with all our life, with all our heart, with all our commitment, and may we bring glory and honour to You, O God. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.